one of the things about the book of Jude, for example, is when you do a study on the book of Jude, almost every verse in the book of Jude has 3, 4, 5 Old Testament Bible references. So you really have to go back and look at a lot of things. 1 John, not so much with the Old Testament Bible references, although there are some. The problem going through 1 John is there are so many wrong things said from 1 John, using 1 John as a basis for error being taught today, that you spend an awful lot of time in the high weeds looking at the problems that are out there rather than being able to simply go through the verses. And today is a very present example, because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So the business of confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. That, by the way, doesn't speak as much to his deity as I would. God manifest in the flesh. He's God the Son, and he's the Son that's God. It doesn't speak as clearly to the deity as I might. And yet, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God is something that has been taken and run with. A big part of the reason why goes all the way back to 1830, and a gentleman named Charles Grandison Finney. I thought his middle name was Grandison, but there's an N in it. Grandison Finney. And he wanted to see the people make a move. He wanted to see activity. And so that's morphed itself into today's invitation system of every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. And then you go forward and you make a confession. Jack Hiles famously said that the best confession is to get them to walk the aisle and get into the baptistry. And that is their way, best way to confess Christ. Fascinating, because that lines up with how the Pharisees and Sadducees refused Christ by not getting baptized, and others, they gave credence to Christ by being baptized. So confessing Christ is a Bible truth for somebody else, and that's the problem. Note now, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my... That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's large. And so, if you'd like a good report with the Father, you better confess Christ down here.
Yeah.
Then, confessing Christ in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, is a big deal. Confessing Christ in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. It's a big deal. Then we read in Luke chapter 12, in verse 8, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess. So it's a contingency.
Yes.
It'll happen. If you do this, then this will happen. That's a big deal. Confessing Christ as the Son of God, confessing Christ as the Messiah, is something that was a big deal to the nation Israel. And if you made the mistake of confessing Christ when you didn't mean to, you'd be in trouble. And you see that in John chapter 9, in verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, you kick him out of the synagogue. Well, if you're out of the synagogue, you're a publican. You're a no good, no value. So, confessing Christ is a huge deal. There's huge benefits on one side, and there's huge detriments on the other side. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. So the confessing of Christ, and by the way, that does line up with submitting to John's baptism, whereby then you agree with God that Christ is the Messiah.
Yeah.
So, clearly, in your Bible, confessing Christ is a big deal. If you make it a big deal in this dispensation, as some have done, then you've gone too far. And it becomes, I believe, dangerous. When confessing Christ, the saying of words or performing baptisms or whatever is added to the gospel in the dispensation of God's grace, I'm going to say to you, that's the little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump.
Yeah.
That's the straw that breaks the back of Calvary's cross. Even one tiny little bitty work, such as when Paul's talking to the nation Israel, oh, Paul only talks to us. Really? I don't know where you're going to church, but fire the guy that's standing up in front of you, because you need to know Paul often speaks to and about the nation Israel. In Romans chapter 10, where Paul is dealing with Israel, in verse 9, is thou shalt confess with thy mouth. What's thy mouth? It's that musculature between your jaws.
Yeah.
It's that tongue. It's the teeth. It's the mouth. It's the opening, the orifice, the aperture. That's what it is. That's a work. Mm-hmm. That tongue in your mouth, that's a muscle. Muscles work.
Yes.
You've added a work. Well, it's just a little work.
Yeah.
And it's got you back in the transaction of salvation, and that's always a wrong thing. Few people really know that Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is addressing Israel's situation, and confessing with the mouth is something that was important for the nation Israel. And we've already shown it in Matthew 10, Luke 12, and John 9. So, confessing with the mouth, when Paul talks to Israel about it, makes absolute sense. When confessing with the mouth is spoken in pulpits, whether it's by the dearly departed and now asleep in Jesus E.C. Moore, or by Steve Atwood down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that's wrong and dangerous.
Yes.
Now, it may be that confessing with the mouth in Romans 10, 9 and 10 has sailed over the heads of these guys, and they don't know that Paul's dealing with Israel's situation. It may be that they're just not really equipped to stand in the pulpits in which they're standing. It may be that some fellows who were Southern Baptist preachers and came to the grace message always used Romans 10, 9, and 10, because after all, that was a Baptist thing that came from Jack Hiles. So knowing Brother Atwood's background as a Southern Baptist, maybe that's just baggage he should have left at the train station.
Yeah.
And not brought with him into the grace movement.
Amen.
You say, brother, you named names. Yep. And Paul said to do that others might fear.
Yeah.
There's a function. And if you call someone out for presenting a wrong gospel, I'd like to know, in the spirit of Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, who's wrong? The one that calls it out, or the one who pretends like it doesn't matter? Again, have a nice day. In 1 John, in chapter 4, and verse 15, we've read this business about confessing, and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, while it's an issue, is not certainly the central issue in our dispensation. God manifest in the flesh. Paul gives you more information on Christ's deity than Christ himself did.
Yes.
And God manifest in the flesh, dying for our sins, is our issue, not simply that his personage was the Son of God. The Son of God did something. God manifest in the flesh did something. Recognizing his person, yes, it's necessary. Recognizing his deity, yes, that's necessary. But those things in and of themselves do not comprise the saving gospel. For the people in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, it certainly sounds as if it constitutes what they need to do, and that's the length and breadth of what they need to do, understanding that he's the Son of God, and then now they've got the Holy Spirit given unto them, so they're able to operate. Our gospel message is not 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he who knew no sin was made to be sin in our place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So we have now been justified by faith, and that justification by faith gives us peace with God, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through the baptistry, not through behavior, not through belonging.
Amen.
Finus Jennings Dake, in his study Bible, says in his notes, quote, One must believe from the heart as well as confess with the mouth. Now, he might even make that tongues. Mm-hmm. Confessing with the mouth is a work.
Yes.
You say, well, what's wrong with it? If that's where your faith is, if that's what you're trusting, I ask Jesus into my heart and I believe in him and I confess with my mouth. If you're finishing the transaction for salvation, you've undermined Calvary's cross and made it of none effect. That's where I am. That's what I'm saying.
Amen.
So Dake says, as confess with the mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Can I find verses that say confessing with the mouth is important? Yes, we've already looked at them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not ignorant of these things. It's amazing to me the numbers of times where I've gotten an email, or I showed you the one book that was sent back to me, and this guy scrawled on the cover, read Bible verse. It's as if they think I need to go to Wally World and buy a Bible, and there's several verses in here I've never encountered. It's, oh, look at that. No, I know they're there.
Yes.
Really, I do. I know they're there. It's not that. It's, I know what to do with them. I know how to deal with them.
Yes.
So they send me a verse like Romans 10, 9 and 10, like I'd be a calf looking at the new gate. Ooh, yeah, pretty. And Dake says, if and when one does this, he will be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. The doing of this, confessing with the mouth, has clearly been added to the gospel in Finest Jennings Dake's Study Bible. Now, it's also in the grace movement. The Romans Road carries with it the baggage of Romans 10, 9, and 10. I would have you to see this pass out which I have for you, and it is the Romans Road to Salvation. It gives you the sequence of verses. Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:12, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9 and 10, and 10:13. This pretty little presentation with the picture of the clouds there, this is produced from the website of the Metropolitan Community Church of Homosexuals. Have a nice day. This is first presented by Pastor Jack Hiles at the Marist Chapel Baptist Church in Bogota, Texas. It is used in Evangelism Explosion by Dr. G. James Kennedy. What I've got for you here, just for the irony of it, comes from the Metropolitan Community Homosexual Church. In every instance, it's the adding of confessing with your mouth to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How wrong is that? I believe hell is the consequence of adding works to the plan of salvation.
Yes.
You say, it's just a little work. It's what everybody does. Doesn't matter to me in the least what everybody does. And a little work is yet and still a work. Again, that thing in your mouth, the tongue, it's a muscle.
Yes.
To confess with it, you work a muscle. I've made the point other times, what does confessing mean? If you confess too loudly, is that lack of faith? If you whisper, what words? Should you say Yahweh, or what words?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you make it a work, you're going to have to define the work, because works have parameters.
Yes.
I have for you a booklet written by Dr. Jack Hiles called Let's Go Soul Winning. And this is when they did it uptown in Fancy. It started out as a little pamphlet.
Yeah.
And this pamphlet was owned by a very sincere lady who went through it in detail and highlighted and made notes. That sincere lady is seated right over there.
Climb under the table and die.
And he takes you immediately to Romans chapter 10 and has you then to confess with the mouth. Now, I have also a pass out for you of pages from, of a page from this little puppy. And this little puppy is the Soul Winner's New Testament. You say there's no printing on it. I wore the gold off. And I went door to door with this in my first several years as a believer. The Soul Winner's New Testament with Clift Brannan's Evangelistic Association. There's millions of these out there. It, when you turn to page 376, gives you an underlined reference, tells you what to say, and when you've said what Clift tells you to say, then he says, turn to page 424.
Yeah.
So then you turn to page 424, you read the underlying verse, which would here be Romans 6:23, the wages of sin. I'm sorry, the underlying verse on this page is all of sin to come short of the glory of God. And then when you give the little explanation of what you've just read, which is down at the bottom of the page, he says, now turn to page 423. So then you turn to page 423, and when you get to page 423, you're at the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's got a whole page of notes and things you can say. And then at the bottom he says, now turn to page 428. When I turn to page 428, I've got, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, but death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So then I've got some more crib notes at the bottom of the page, and he tells me to turn to page 419. So I turn to page 419, and I get another verse that I can read about the riches and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God. And when I've read that verse, then he tells me finally to turn to page 442, which is the page I've given you, 442 and 443. Because in his explanatory notes on page 442, whoever's to call at the bottom of the page, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, top of 443, you express your repentance and faith by calling in prayer. In this way, you invite Jesus into your heart. He promises, if any man hears my voice, I'll open the door. There's Revelation 3:20 in C.S. Lovett. Jesus told how one man was saved when he spoke from his heart only seven words, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There's the sinner's prayer. When should you call on the name of the Lord? God says, I heard thee in thy time accepted. Behold, now. That's a Pauline verse. So clearly, back to page 442 in the notes at the bottom, when you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in his heart, you trust him with your heart and tell with your mouth, and this results in righteousness. What if you don't tell with your mouth? This results in righteousness. You trust with your heart and tell, trust and tell. See it? He's underlined it on page 443. So, I give you all this stuff to make the point. I'm not exaggerating.
No.
This is the devil's playground, this business of the Romans Road and Romans 10, 9, and 10. Quickly now. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they, that's Israel, might be saved. For I bear them, that's Israel, record, that they, that's Israel, have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their, that's Israel, own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, which was Israel's law, for righteousness to every man that believeth. Moses, that's under Israel, describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall shall descend into the deep. Do we have any mention of the body of Christ, any mention of a Gentile in here? None whatsoever. But we're going to put the body of Christ in Gentiles into the next couple of verses. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Who's the thee? It's Israel. Even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Whose mouth? Whose heart? The heart and mouth of those who were instructed to confess. So when Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, confess, he's talking to and about Israel. That's the whole passage. Oh no! Romans 9, 10, and 10, that's not in the context. We're going to take that out of the context and we're going to use it from the pulpit and get people say words so then I know who's chosen up sides and who hasn't. Wow. So it's not difficult. You drop down after Romans 10, 9, and 10 to Romans 10, 19. Did Israel know? Why are we talking about Israel? This is about the Baptist confessing Jesus. This is about Steve Atwood telling people to do Romans 10, 9, and 10 and come forward. Good night. I'd be glad if you shot yourself in the foot. It would be better than what you are doing.
Yep.
Making the gospel and the cross of Christ of none effect. So, Paul is addressing Israel in Romans 9, 10, and 11. 99% of the people in the grace movement don't know that. Forget about the rest. Again, Romans chapter 10, verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, a failure to submit to the righteousness of God is what they are being required to confess with their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The context is Israel.
Yes.
God commanded statute keeping. God commanded performance. Jesus commanded, in addition, that you confess Him as the Messiah, as the Anointed One. It's sad when people say there's only one gospel in the Bible, everybody gets saved the same way. I hear that as people saying, I'm going to go to hell by trusting Jesus and being nice and getting baptized and crossing my fingers.
Yeah.
No clarity. No simplicity of Christ in Him crucified. When in Matthew chapter 19... a fellow asked Jesus, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus says, keep the commandments. The commentaries just run amok on dealing with Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17 because they can't make that the plan of salvation in their commentaries, keeping the commandments. So they say Jesus already had read his heart and knew the guy wasn't really a believer. So the confusion that runs rampant is only assuaged by mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division, by being Pauline in one's doctrines. When Israel confesses its Messiah and assents to Him by John's water baptism of repentance and remission of sins, those folks are the ones upon whom God's Spirit falls, whether it be John 20 or Acts 2. Those folks are the ones who could handle the tribulation great commission of Mark chapter 16. Those folks are the one who are equipped to endure to the end of the great tribulation. Those folks are the people of 1 John.
Yes.
Not us.
Amen.
It's important. Now, Satan is not stupid. And I don't mean in any sense to glorify him. But he has been a copycat. He has been a usurper. His agenda is to take that which belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the right anointed Messiah shows up and he's killed on a Roman cross by Jewish hands, I know Roman soldiers did it. When that happens, that then plays into the hands of the other anointed one, the devil himself. So Israel, having killed the Lord's elect, Peter says, him by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up. Israel had missed it. Israel had done the nefarious deed of rejecting God manifest in the flesh, their Messiah, their anointed lamb slain. They rejected him. Wow. Peter, encountering some of those people that were involved or involved and shared the rejection, preaches mean as a skunk to those people and tells them what they've done. And those folks, having heard this, Acts 2:37, are pricked in their hearts, and they repent and get baptized. Yeah. Acts 2:38. When they repent and get baptized, then they get the Holy Ghost. So they become part of that company headed into 1 John, headed into the tribulation, yeah, and the kingdom. They're the ones who needed to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. It's amazing that when Romans 10:9 and 10 is used by the Southern Baptists, by Jack Hiles, by the Soul Winners New Testament, when Romans 10:9 and 10 is used, these guys say out of one side of their mouth, you're saved by grace through faith, and out of the other side of their mouth, clearly in their own writing, they require that you work a muscle in your mouth and say words. I don't know what words, whether any words will do. Probably not. You probably have to confess. As Hagee and Hiles both said, the best way to confess is by getting water baptized.
Yeah.
Wow. When you added works to the plan of salvation, I'm going to say you made the cross of Christ of none effect. I get a lot of opposition. I wouldn't get that opposition if I said in order to be saved you have to hop on your left foot from here to Cleveland. But if you make it a little bitty thing, well, just confess, just get baptized, just say something. If I make it a little bitty thing, then people are willing to think that they haven't really done any works because it was easy. If it's not Christ, it's not the gospel.
Amen.
He's the author and the finisher. He's the just and the justifier. So Israel had rejected its Messiah, put him on the cross. They needed to confess that he was the Messiah. And so you've seen the verses earlier from John 9, where if you confess him, you get thrown out of the synagogue, and Luke 12, where Christ requires you to confess him. You and I, when you find out you're the sinner, that sin is part of your life, you've sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you'll not see the glory of God because God doesn't put sin in his presence.
That's right.
But Jesus Christ provides a way for you to be accepted in the Beloved, accepted in God by his payment for your sins. And you trust what he did. It's your faith in a finished work, and it has nothing to do with your being baptized, with your being catechized, with your being sanferized or simonized.
Amen.
It's all his work. So we, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, trust in Christ after that you've heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Specifically, the gospel of your salvation, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. God sent Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. By the way, Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says that's God's blood.
Yes.
Wasn't Joseph and Mary. And we declare His righteousness, not I confessed Him. If there is a personal pronoun involved in performance for your soul's salvation, you have identified yourself as hellbound.
Yes.
Make a list of everything you think is right and needful for you to do to guarantee your trip to heavenly places for all eternity. And if it involves on that list even one thing that you do beyond faith in Christ, on that list you've identified why you're willing to go to hell. You're willing to go to hell so you can brag on your baptismal certificate. You're willing to go to hell so you can brag on your tongue talking. You're willing to go to hell because your church membership is tantamount to you, and you eat the magic wafer on Sunday morning, and you wear the magic underwear during the week. Salvation, Romans chapter 4, verse 5, is to him that worketh not, but believeth on the one that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Faith in what? The death, burial, and resurrection of God manifest in the flesh, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. So, this verse, 1 John chapter 4, in verse 15, raises an issue. And I felt that that was a rabbit that needed to be run.
Yes.
So that we identify the dangers of this business of adding, confessing Christ, the intonation of words, the expiration of air to create syllables, works added to the plan of salvation. You're saved by grace through faith.
Amen. That's it.
If your tongue has been cut out, if you're deaf and dumb, if you can't speak, it's salvation by grace through faith. There are no impediments on you. So the business of confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Romans 10, 9 and 10, confessing Him with the mouth. Belief in the heart, that's Israel, believing He's the Messiah. Confessing, that was a requirement that was hanging over their head from the Lord no fewer than four times in the Gospels.
Yes.
So they were told by the Apostle Paul what the deal was for their situation. We'll stop there.